We shall now turn to the chapter which we read together, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, and our text for this morning is verse 28. Matthew 15 and verse 28. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Jesus says here to this woman, great is your faith. Not all of us have great faith, do we? But the vital question is, do we have faith at all? Do we have... Well, everybody has faith, don't they? Everyone has some kind of faith. Faith in themselves, or faith in their good works, or faith in their church, or faith in sacraments, or faith in something. But do you have saving faith? Faith in Jesus Christ as Saviour? Faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Faith in the work that Jesus did on the cross, dying for our sins. Is that what we trust in? What must I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Nobody will be saved but somebody who believes in Christ. Who trusts in Christ, who rests on Christ. Christ is the Saviour. So what must we do to be saved? Faith. And yet it's not faith itself that saves us, but faith in Christ. It's Christ who saves us. Christ saves us by faith. Faith grasps Christ. Faith is the hand that receives Christ, that embraces Christ. Faith is the eye that focuses on Christ. Christ is the Saviour, and faith is the channel through which salvation comes to us. So do you have this saving faith today? If you do, you're on the road to heaven. If you don't, you're on the road to hell. It's as simple as that. Now, studying this woman's great faith will help us to understand something of the nature of true saving faith. So that will help any here who do not have faith. But it's also helpful for those of us who do have faith, because the greater our faith, the greater the blessing that we get from it. This woman was a woman of great faith and she got a great blessing. The greater our faith is, the stronger will be our prayers, and the greater will be our assurance, and the richer will be our peace and joy. So the disciples, you remember, on one occasion asked Jesus, increase our faith. That should be our prayer. Increase our faith, Lord. Make it grow. The bigger our faith, the more blessing we will enjoy. So, first of all then, today, who was this woman? She was a Canaanite woman. So she's somebody who has no privileges. A Canaanite. Cursed be Canaan. You remember how Canaan was the son of Ham, the son of Noah. And you remember the immorality of, it would seem, Canaan and also Ham, his father. And because of that, a curse, a special curse came upon the children of Ham, and particularly upon Canaan. So Canaan was cursed above all others. They were a very immoral people, the Canaanites. They inhabited a certain land, and God gave that land to his people Israel. But the Canaanites were cursed. They were immoral, they were idolaters, they were violent, they were evil in the sight of God, and God's wrath was particularly upon them. So this woman is one of them, a Canaanite. From the time of Abraham, salvation was largely restricted to the sons of Abraham. Not even just to the sons of Abraham, but to the sons of Isaac. And not just to the sons of Isaac, but election to the sons of Jacob, Esau rejected. So down through the centuries from then on, salvation belonged to the Israelites, to the Jews. There were a few, an odd person here or there, to whom God's saving grace reached outside of the family of Abraham. We're told, for example, about a harlot from Jericho. Incredibly, a harlot saved. How wonderful amongst all the people of Jericho that it should be a harlot that God should save. But God is magnifying his grace. He loves to save the worst of sinners. So it doesn't matter what we do, there's hope for us. Doesn't matter what our past involves, there's hope. Rahab the harlot gathered into Israel. Ruth the Moabitess, another. Naaman the Syrian. Naaman, the enemy of God's people, who went about destroying the people of God, the captain of the host of Syria. God's saving grace reached to him. So yes, there were ones and twos here and there amongst the outsiders, but largely salvation was restricted to the Jews. So here's a woman with no privileges, an outsider. And you've got many privileges, don't you? Born, some of you, into a Christian home. Baptized as a child, having the sign and seal of God's covenant placed upon you, so that you are a member of the covenant community, a member of the new Israel. You're not one of those pagans outside. You're one of the new Israel. You're blessed with great blessings. A Christian home, baptized into the Christian church, taught from childhood. You have a Bible. This woman wouldn't have a Bible. Bibles were very rare in these days because there was no printing presses. They had to be copied out by hand. They were terrifically expensive. And because books were in common, very few people could read. This woman, it would be very unlikely that she could read. So she couldn't read and she didn't have a Bible. She probably never went to church, to the synagogue. She wouldn't be welcome there. She was a Gentile dog, an outsider, despised. You remember how God in his great mercy had made provision, some provision for the Gentiles, so that in the temple there was the court of the Gentiles, where they could come and they could pray. But the Jews had destroyed the court of the Gentiles. You remember how Jesus got really, really angry on one occasion? And he went into the court of the Gentiles where they were buying and selling. They turned it into a marketplace. God's house of prayer for the Gentiles had been turned into a den of thieves. The money changers were there. And Jesus overthrew the tables of the money changers, and he chased out those who were selling doves and sheep and oxen in the temple. Chased them out, making the house of prayer a den of thieves. It's So you see the Jews' attitude to those outside of the Jews. They couldn't come to the temple to worship. They were despised. But you have all the privileges. You come to church. You've heard the gospel preached earnestly many times. You've been blessed with the Bible there. You can read and all the instruction that you've received. You're part of the Christian culture, as it were. She belonged to a heathen culture, a pagan, an outsider. Yet she comes. And nothing holds her back. She's got trouble in her family. She's got a daughter. And the daughter is devil-possessed. Just imagine that. Just imagine if one of your children had been given over to the devil to such an extent. Actually, Satan dwelling in that girl's heart. Not just tempting her, but dwelling in her and destroying her. She had a devil-possessed daughter who was tormenting her constantly. Satan constantly tormenting that poor girl. God allowed the devil to do that in this woman's daughter. But you have an easy life. You've got your health and strength and many blessings. You're well off. You have food and clothes. And you have a home and a family and so many good things. But this poor woman, so many bad things, so many negative things, so many things against her. And yet, nothing holds her back. So that's the first thing. She was a Gentile woman. The next thing we notice about her is the amazing recognition that she has of Christ. How did she know who Christ was? Not having read the Bible, not having been to the synagogue, a Gentile dog, and yet, somehow or other, she knows that Jesus of Nazareth is the son of David. Perhaps she had Jewish neighbors. Maybe she had believers that she came in contact with. Lots of people would be talking anyway about Jesus and the miracles that he was performing. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. These things were happening in the little country of Palestine. Everybody was talking about this man from Nazareth and the mighty miracles he performed. Feeding the 5,000 with a boy's packed lunch. And God opened our mind to these things. Because at the end of the day, that's got to happen, hasn't it? God opened our mind and she received the truth. Somehow or other, she heard something about Christ. She heard enough. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we don't hear the gospel, we can't be saved. That's why missionaries have to be sent out all over the world. That's why there's efforts to reach the unreached peoples of the world, because if they don't hear, faith comes by hearing. If they don't hear, they won't be saved. But she'd heard something. She'd heard sufficient. And by God's grace, she believed what she heard. And so we're told here that she comes, this woman, verse 22, and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David." He's not just the prophet of Nazareth. He's the son of David. How did she know he was David's son? Again, she heard, she believed. She accepted the gospel. The Lord opened her mind to these things. She recognized that Jesus was not just some great prophet, but was actually the prophet, the greatest prophet. And not just the greatest prophet, but also the King, the Son of David, the Messiah, the Lord's anointed. She heard, she believed, and she expressed her faith. Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Have you recognized the Savior? Do you distinguish him from all others? Do you see him as the one who alone can save and alone can save you? The one you need. The great prophet to teach you. The great priest to offer a sacrifice for you and intercede for you. The great king to subdue you to himself, to rule and defend you, and to bring you to heaven at the end. So that's the second thing. This Canaanite woman first, and then she recognizes Christ as the Son of David. And the third thing we notice is that she comes for mercy. She comes to Christ. And faith comes to Christ. Some way or other, faith must come to Christ. This woman came physically, walking towards him. You must come in prayer, in trust, looking to him, hoping in him, loving him, casting yourself upon him. This woman was aware of her need. And you have to have a sense of need before you'll come to Christ. If you're not feeling unwell, you don't go to the doctor. And if you don't feel your sins and the spiritual sickness, you won't come to Christ, the doctor, the great physician. So she's aware of her need. She is aware of the desperate condition of her daughter. And she pleads. Some people know that they need to be saved, but they don't seem to do anything about it. Are you like that? Some people seem to just sit there waiting for a light to shine or some voice from heaven to speak to them. Are you like that? Waiting for some miracle, some big bang to take place. Oh, I've got to be born again. I'm just waiting to be born again. But the Bible never says wait. The Bible never says just stay there and do nothing. The Bible says come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Turn, don't stay there and die. Turn, don't carry on that road that leads to hell. Turn into the road to heaven. The Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Seek means action. Seek the Lord. Call upon him. So we've got to do something. It's not a matter of just stay there and wait and hope that you're the lucky one and that something will happen and that somehow before you die, you'll be converted. You'll be saved. So you'll get to heaven when you die. Think of Lot and Sodom And the angel's message to him, flee for your life. Flee to the mountains and don't look back. Run. Run as fast as you can. Don't stop a minute. Fire and brimstone is coming down from heaven. Run for your life. And that's what Lot and his two daughters did. But you remember Lot's wife. She looked back. She was destroyed. Flee to the mountains. Flee to the mountain of salvation. Flee to Christ. The next thing we notice about this woman's faith is that she persists. You see, faith does not give up. Faith doesn't give up. It keeps coming. Now, this woman, she cried out to Jesus, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Have mercy on me. But he answered her not a word. He ignored her. Now, we're not told often of Jesus ignoring somebody. But here's this poor woman, distressed, crying out, and Jesus not listening, or pretends he's not listening. He appears to ignore her, and that's very hard. You know, when you're talking to somebody and they appear to ignore you, you're calling to them and they ignore you, you're calling to a child and the child ignores you, it's difficult, isn't it? But faith won't give up. Faith keeps on. Faith keeps on praying when there's no answer. Keeps on praying again and again and again. Keeps on praying today and tomorrow and the day after that. Faith doesn't stop. Faith persists. You see, some people think faith is a decision. Decision taken once in their life. But no. Faith is our relationship. Faith is ongoing. Faith is something we do every day of life. I was reading a quote from the Puritans the other day, and this Puritan was saying about faith, it's like this. Every day afresh, you believe in Jesus. You believe in Jesus as if you were doing it for the first time. You see, it's an ongoing faith and repentance. You live by faith, and every day you believe again. You repent and believe again. Maybe you didn't believe properly yesterday, but you believe today. You believe again, and you believe and believe and believe and go on believing. Faith is a relationship. It's an ongoing relationship with Christ. So this woman, she won't give up. Like Job, she's saying, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Strange how Jesus doesn't answer her. Why do you think he didn't answer her? Was he being unkind? Was he distracted by something else? But Jesus is never distracted, and Jesus is not unkind. What he's doing is he's drawing out her faith. That's what he's doing. He can see that this woman has faith, and he's wanting this faith to grow. And he's drawing it out. He's making it stronger, as it were. You know, if you were going to run a marathon, you don't just say one day, I'm going to run a marathon, and then you turn up on that day and you run the 26.2 miles of the marathon. You just can't do that. You've got to run maybe the first day a mile, maybe the next day you'll run 2 miles, Maybe a few days later you run 3 miles, and then you have to go through training. You're pushing yourself against the pain. And so you build up your stamina so that you're able to one day go out there and you can run a whole 26.2 miles. And that's the way it is with faith. Faith is tested and tried and has to push against barriers and to push against pain. And as your faith pushes against pain, it grows. It gets stronger, develops. And that's what Jesus is doing here. He appears to ignore the woman because he's drawing out her faith. Think of the widow woman who came to the importunate widow who came to the unjust judge. The judge feared not God or man. He didn't care for people. All he cared for was lining his own pockets. He wanted bribes. And this woman couldn't give him a bribe, so he wasn't going to do anything to help her. But the woman had an idea. I know what I'll do. I'll keep pestering him. Pestering him until he's fed up. And then he'll give me what I want. So she came one day, he did nothing. And she came the next day and she asked for help and he did nothing. And he came the third day, she came the fourth day and the fifth day and the sixth day. And in the end, the judge thought to himself, better help this woman. Otherwise, she'll really sicken me. She'll keep on pestering me. Hear what the unjust judge did. And shall not God avenge his own elect who cry unto him day and night? The importunate woman, the woman who wouldn't give up, is such a brilliant example to us of how in faith we must keep coming, keep on coming to Christ. More and more and more we must keep on praying and not give up. Your salvation is too important to you for you to give up. So you've got to keep on coming. So there we see her faith persisting. The next thing we notice is apparent rejection. Apparent rejection. Jesus' disciples came to him and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. The disciples are getting fed up. Here's this woman yelling. And Jesus is doing nothing. Maybe he doesn't mean to help her. Well, if you don't mean to help her, Lord, send her away. She's crying after us. She's causing a fuss. She's bothering us. She's a trouble. Get rid of her, Lord. It's horrible listening to this woman shouting, and we don't like hearing people shouting at us. Send her away, Lord. And you notice what Jesus says in verse 24. I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And there's the woman there, and she hears what the disciples say. Send her away. You know, the Lord's people can be very unkind sometimes. They can be quite nasty at times. They can really hurt you. And you're coming and you're seeking and they reject you. And they push you away. And they may be racist. And they don't like what race you come from. Or maybe they don't like the fact that you're not one of them. You're not like them. You belong to a different economic bracket, as it were. You're maybe not middle class like they are, or whatever it is, and they reject you. Maybe you're not a Highlander like some of them, and they're rejecting you. Whatever it is, the Lord's people can sometimes be extremely unkind. She hears this. But then, even worse than what the disciples are saying, she hears what Jesus says. I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And she knows she doesn't belong to Israel. She's not one of the house of Israel. She's a Canaanite. Jesus is saying, I'm not sent to people like you, you Canaanite. I'm sent to the Jews. Surely that was enough to turn her away. But she won't. She won't give up. She just keeps coming. She comes along and she falls down at his feet and worships him. And she says, Lord, help me. She came and worshipped him, verse 25, and said, Lord, help me. So apparent rejection doesn't turn her away either. That's faith. Faith that will not be discouraged, that will not be offended. Faith that keeps coming whatever happens. Do you have that kind of faith? Or are you easily offended? These Christians, you know what they did on me? You know what they said about me? You know the way they treated me? They rejected me. They pushed me away. They weren't kind to me. They weren't welcoming to me. They were so cliquish, so clannish. These Christians. And I don't seem to be one of God's elect, one of God's chosen. I've come and I've prayed and nothing's happened. What's the point? I might as well give up. But faith doesn't give up. Faith carries on coming. And then finally, the hardest trial of all. The woman, she comes and she worships Jesus, saying, Lord, help me. There she is at his feet, down on her knees before him, worshipping him. Lord, help me, she pleads. And Jesus says something that appears very unkind. He says, it's not meet, it's not right to take the children's food and give it to dogs. That's really hard. Terrifically harsh, isn't it? It's not right to take the children's food and give it to dogs. You're not one of God's children. You're a dog. He appears racist, doesn't he? Does Jesus really hate her and despise her? Well, actually, he's testing her to her limits to draw out her victorious faith. He's trying her faith. He's developing her faith. He's drawing it out. You see, that's something else about faith. Faith is tremendously humble. And faith takes the place of a beggar. What is prayer? It's coming as a beggar with no rights, deserving nothing. Please, Lord, I don't deserve it. Have mercy on me. Give me a piece of bread. Give me life. We see here her faith. Even although Jesus said to her, it's not right to take the children's food and give it to dogs, she picks up on something. She uses Jesus' own words and she says, yes, but Lord, just think of the children at the table eating. And you know, children, they'll drop little crumbs from time to time. All I want is one crumb. I'm not asking for the children's food. Give the food to the children. But please, Lord, give me a crumb. But you're asking for your daughter to be healed and the devil to be cast out of her. That's something huge. No. To you who are so great, Lord, that's just a tiny crumb. It's nothing for you to do it. You're such a wonderful, mighty, powerful God. That is just a crumb. Lord, all I'm asking is for a crumb. What amazing faith this woman has. I'm just one of these dogs. I'm happy to take the place of a dog. That's all I want. But coming as a dog, I want to lick up that crumb that falls from the children's table. How humble, how persistent, how amazing. And so we notice what Jesus says. Having been so hard on her, he now turns to her and he says, oh woman, great is your faith. Great is your faith. When did he say that to somebody else? Did he ever say anything like that to... Remember what he said to his disciples. He was in the boat on the Sea of Galilee and they thought they were going to drown, although they had Jesus in the boat with them. And he said, oh, ye of little faith, the mighty disciples, Peter, James and John, oh, ye of little faith. But he says to this Gentile woman, oh, woman, great is your faith. On one occasion, he said to another man, he said, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And interestingly, that man also was a Gentile, a centurion. I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Two Gentiles, and they seem to have more faith than all the Jews. How wonderful this woman's faith. Jesus is drawing out her faith. Maybe you're praying. Maybe you're praying for something. And you've been praying and praying and praying and you're not getting an answer. And you're saying, maybe I should give up. Don't give up. Remember this woman. She wouldn't give up. Although there were so many things going wrong, so many things against her, so many barriers, faith surmounts them all. And she keeps coming. And she gets what she wants. Her daughter is healed. The devil's cast out. The Lord answers her prayer. Oh woman, great is thy faith. Jesus is delighted with her. Is Jesus delighted with you and your faith? Or is your faith giving up at the first hurdle, the first discouragement, and you stop praying? Don't give up. Keep on praying. Keep on pleading with the Lord. He's rich in mercy. He loves to answer. He says, ask and you shall receive. Hitherto you have asked nothing. Why have you asked nothing? Ask and you shall receive. Come to me with your emptiness and I will fill you. Come to me. Come to me for salvation and you'll be saved. You feel like you've been seeking for the Lord maybe? Seeking him for some time, for a long time. And you're not getting through to him? Don't give up. Keep coming. Keep praying. Keep clinging. Cling to him. And he will say to you, oh woman, great is your faith. Oh man, great is your faith. Be it unto you as you wish. And her daughter was made whole from that hour. A woman of great faith. What must I do to be saved? Faith. What must I do to go on being saved? Faith. What is the victory that overcometh the world? Your faith. Through faith you triumph. What is the great shield that defends us from the fiery darts of the devil that will destroy us? The shield of faith. You trust in Christ. You keep trusting in Christ. You trust in Him for salvation. You receive His salvation from Him. And when the devil says to you, go and enjoy this sinful pleasure. Go and indulge yourself in this way. Go and break the commandments. You're not a Christian anyway. What difference does it make? You've done this, you've done that, you might as well do the next thing. No! Get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. I have the shield of faith. I believe. I trust. I will stand by the grace of God. Faith, the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith conquers. The victory that overcometh the world is your faith. Let's pray. O Lord our God, grant unto us to have faith, faith even as a grain of mustard seed. That saving faith that we need. But grant, Lord, that our faith too would grow and that we would go on developing and growing and maturing and being built up in our faith. Help us, Lord, in the trials and temptations of life to develop and grow and increase. And that our faith would become stronger and stronger. Do thou bless us then each one and enable us to cast ourselves afresh upon the Lord. For Jesus' sake, amen.